Coming up on today's episode of the Locked On Bucs podcast, we recap the Buccaneers' win over the Cardinals.
At the end of a hard week, it's great to sit down, take some time off, and watch some football. Game-winning touchdowns on two-minute drives, running backs racing down the sidelines with no one to stop them. There's nothing else like the NFL, and there's no better way to make the games even more exciting than to bet on them. So do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win than they do. MyBookie's got the fastest payouts and better lines than any other sportsbook. Don't forget, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on, and MyBookie.ag is the best in the business. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate this offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Forfeit the game before somebody else takes you out of the frame. Put your name to shame, cover up your face. You can't run the race, the pace is too fast, you just won't last.
What's up and welcome back to the Locked On Bucs podcast, brought to you in part by DoorDash. Treat yourself to the meal you deserve, including a big bowl of W's, and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON. I am James Yarko, joined as always by David Harrison. You can find everything that we're doing over at BucsNation.com, and make sure you follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JYarko underscore Bucks, at DH82 underscore Bucks, and at Bucks underscore Nation. David, I got a little winded on that intro because I'm cold. I have a cold and I can't breathe through my nose. The sympathy is just pouring out of him, ladies and gentlemen, just pouring. David, of course, is on location in Tampa. He was at the game on Sunday, and sweet mother of God, we have a win to talk about.
We do. And the Buccaneers are now undefeated whenever I cover a game in stadium.
So if you all would like to fund David's trip across the country to attend every Buccaneers game, you can Venmo him money, just DM for details. And we'll send David to every game for the rest of the year to ensure the Bucs finish 10-6. But we do have a game to talk about, and that was the 30-27 nail-biting victory over Bruce Arians' former team, the Arizona Cardinals. Now, David, how many times did you have a minor heart attack in the fourth quarter?
I wouldn't say heart attack. It was fun to watch, man. It was a fun game. It was a good game. You know, we can't make these trips south very often, so you always hope that when you make the trip south, it's worth it. You know, you don't want to see blowouts, stuff like that. You want to see hard-fought games, and it was a hard-fought game. I was joking with another person in the press box a little shortly after the game. There were moments where it almost looked like neither team wanted to win, and so that was a little interesting. But there were definitely some key moments in the game, some fun moments in the game. But all in all, it's always a good experience to be able to do that and see it from that angle and talk to those guys. So, yeah.
From now on, I would like for you to refer to me as James Tradamus.
James Tradamus because of Jamel Dean's interception.
You're damn right. Now, Greg Allman tweeted out something really interesting, and I wholeheartedly believe Jamel Dean, after being last week's punching bag, is this week's hero and the player of the game for the Bucs. Greg Allman tweeted out, to put into context, Jamel Dean's 8 passes defensed in the last 2 weeks, no Buccaneer corner had more than 6 all of 2018.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, for all the, you know, the struggle and everything in Seattle and everything, I mean, he's come up with some really good plays. And what you're seeing is, we talked about this when it happened, is you're seeing a third round cornerback, a rookie, who is a third round rookie for a reason. And the reason is he's got some raw athletic ability and talent, and he's got some areas that he definitely needs to get better in. And that's what you saw in Seattle, was a guy who wasn't all there, but had some talent. And that's why, I mean, I took some flack for it, and I knew I would, you know what I mean, when I did it, because Devin White had a pretty strong game in Seattle, especially with that, you know, the fumble and everything else. If the Bucs would have won that game, he probably would have been talked about a lot more. But I made Jamel Dean the rookie of the week. I do the rookie recap for Bucs Nation. I made him the rookie of the week despite everything that happened because – and someone else actually pointed it out on Twitter. I didn't really even think about it until they pointed it out, and I went back and watched. To the very last snap, man, Jamel Dean gave 120% to that team, to that defense, to the cause. And not for nothing, man, I work around a lot of guys who can go through some struggles and you know, performance-based and everything else. And in some jobs, you know, effort will get you where you need to go. And some jobs, effort alone isn't going to do it. But when you see a guy struggling and literally, man, just getting smoked all day, for him to still, at the end of the game, be putting in maximum effort, trying to get the thing done for himself, for his teammates, for the group, I mean – you have to applaud something like that. And these players, you know, they don't all read their mentions and their clips and all that stuff, but some of them do, man. And if Jamel Dean reads, you know, comments and stuff like that, I wanted to know that there was at least someone out there who appreciated the effort. And I saw it, you know, as the week went on, more and more people talked about how much effort he put in and how, you know, resilient he was and everything else. So I'm sure that he came into this weekend knowing that there were people out there kind of pulling for him, supporting him. And it's got to make this performance this weekend even better.
Yeah, and on the flip side, we have an emerging new hero on offense, and that's Ronald Jones. And let's put the fumble aside, because that was a brutal fumble. Nobody hit him. It was simply he was going to tuck the ball, and it came flying out of his arm. But Ronald Jones has asserted himself now not only as the best running back on this team, but the best pass-catching running back on this team as well, which begs the question, why did we see so much of Dare Ogunbowale? That didn't make any sense. And I had a lot of people on the Bucs Nation Twitter account ask, or, you know, in the mention saying, you know, why is Barber in? Why are they putting Barber in? Well, you know, Ronald Jones can't play every single play. The dude needs to catch his breath every once in a while. And he, you know, he busted off two really long screen passes for big gains. Yeah, let him go to the sideline, catch his breath, and let Peyton Barber run the ball. And I wouldn't say either team was super effective running the ball, but you know, Peyton Barber gained the most important yard of the game there with under a minute left. And I understand it's frustrating, the team's dedication to the run, but take a look at some of the first down pass attempts that Jameis Winston had. He was sacked twice on first down pass attempts. There's a reason that they run the ball on first down. Yeah, sometimes it doesn't gain any yards. Sometimes it gains five. Sometimes it goes for another first down, but there's a reason they do it. And this team is so dedicated to the run because, as we saw again on Sunday, this offensive line is terrible. Absolutely terrible. Winston was under duress virtually the entire game. He was getting his clock cleaned. He did have a sack that was overturned because of a defensive penalty, which saved the team on that drive. But when you see somebody as talented as Ronald Jones continuing to emerge and continuing to get better, use him. Use him in the run game. Use him in the pass game. Use him wherever you can. So I don't understand the aversion to running the ball outside of the people that seem to think analytics is the NFL Bible. You know, it's, again, David and I talk about this all the time. It's a piece of the puzzle. It is a part of the information you can get. It is not the entire picture. You can't rely solely on analytics as being the end all be all of whether or not your team is doing the right thing. You have to be able to use your eyes and your common sense. And more often than not, the Bucs are more successful running the ball on first down than they are passing.
Yeah, well, I mean, you look at, you know, this offensive line, and I tend to think the offensive line, when it's in its organic state, right, like when it has all five starters out there, that it's better than what a lot of Bucs fans are giving them credit for. I'm not saying it's the top-of-the-line offensive line, but I think that when you have, you know, when you have Donovan, Allie, Ryan, Alex, and DeMar all out there together and everybody's healthy, it's a functional unit. But they do have some problems. I mean, we all know DeMar Dotson, he's got to get replaced. One, because he's getting up there. His career's coming to an end soon. And two, he's not the best right tackle in the world. I like the dude, but it just is what it is. Alex is young, so he's kind of it's going to be a decision on them. You know, do we want to continue letting him develop on the job, or do we want to find a guy that we can plug and play and we know is quality? Donovan is Donovan. He's kind of like the Jameis Winston of right tackle or left tackles, where he's going to have really solid games and he's going to have games where you just don't even know what he's doing out there, and it's going to be disastrous. But you know, we talk about this team kind of help people out and give Byron Leftwich credit, because a lot of people, we were all coming into this game looking for OJ, right? I wrote something specific about OJ ahead of the game about kind of what his second half needed to look like. I'm going to write a follow-up to it either tonight or tomorrow. And, you know, OJ is going to be a thing. I mean, OJ was talking in the locker room before this game about coming back from injury and how, you know, there are some things they worked on in practice. And one of those things they worked on in practice is actually how he scored his touchdown. That exact play, that exact scenario is what they've been working on in practice, that he mentioned in locker room interviews that he feels like he's going to get that opportunity in this game. And he did, and it worked. So they're working on it. And then Byron also saying OJ is going to have a huge part of the second half of the season. And he is, and he has. And I'm telling you, it just may not show up on your fantasy football roster, so, or your scores. So I literally, at least for the entire first half, I literally tracked every single snap that OJ was on the field for, what he did in that snap, and just was taking kind of notes on how effective it was. And I'll tell you what I was surprised on is he was called on to block in the first half for over 25 plays. There were over 20 plays in the first half. He was called on to be purely a blocker. On 8 of those plays, they were pass plays. Now, some of them were screens, right, where he kind of went downfield as a decoy, get his defender out of the way, and then block for him. But there were a handful of plays there where he literally just stayed in line as a blocker, and it kind of shows you the versatility. We all know the versatility of O.J. Howard. But I'm telling you, James, I wish I had gone back. If I had been looking for this beforehand, I would have gone back. Maybe I'll do that on the game pass and look at the 22. But I'm kind of interested to go back and say and see if we can kind of chart how much time Jameis had when OJ stayed in line as a blocker versus when he leaked out. Because that's something that, you know, obviously Byron Leftwich, Bruce Arians, whoever. I mean, the Arizona Cardinals are not a unit that's known for their pass rush. They're not a defense that's known for getting after the quarterback, yet they were able to do it today. And some of that was scheme, some of that was, you know, by design, but some of that was also deficiencies on the offensive line. So for Byron Leftwich to come out here and say, you know, we're all excited about OJ to get back on, and obviously he's an athletic tool and a receiver and everything else that we've all been calling on, but also to have the foresight and the willingness to stick him out there as a blocker. And I'll tell you, OJ, every single snap was fighting, repping, and then you talk about he didn't even get a receiving target until, you know, 20-plus minutes in the game had already ticked off the clock before he got his first reception. But at the end of it, I mean, he's got multiple receptions, a touchdown. He's a big part of the game plan. I mean, I think he was third on the team in targets at the end of it all. So I mean, this team is getting OJ Howard involved in the offense. It's just not always going to come on the stat sheet, which is where most people want to see it. I agree, but if keeping him in line to block is what's going to help Chris Godwin get 6 catches, Mike Evans, you know, have an 80 plus yard reception or receiving day. Ronald Jones, like there were a couple of those screens go back, and OJ Howard had a block that sprung him for some of those big games. So OJ is getting involved. I'm happy with it. My fantasy roster isn't happy with it, but I'm happy with it because it shows sound football decision making and it worked.
Yeah, I mean, the Bucs went 75 yards and scored a touchdown in 50 seconds at the end of the first half. O.J. Howard was responsible for 3 receptions out of 7 plays for 41 out of the 75 yards and the touchdown. That's the kind of involvement that we've been hoping to see, and I hope that we see more of it. But, David, you're 100% right, and it's something else that you and I have talked about. Just because O.J. Howard isn't getting receptions or isn't getting yards doesn't mean that he's not involved. We understand that the offensive line has a lot of shortcomings and they need OJ's help to try to buy Jameis a little bit of time. We also know that a lot of receivers' routes are used as decoys to spring open other players, and OJ has been used in that role too. So, you know, Sunday's game was kind of the best of all 3 of those for OJ Howard. He was involved in an impact player on the scoreboard, on the stat sheet, but he was also involved in blocking and helping his other receivers get open to help the Bucs create some plays. So, you know, overall it was a solid team performance. And, you know, the last thing, David, that I kind of want to talk about, because I know we're coming up against the clock here, is the fact that Did you notice the Vernon Hargreaves benching?
Oh yeah, everybody noticed that. Trust me, the press box was a buzz, and everybody's trying to figure out. So I don't know the name of the gentleman, unfortunately, but today there was a gentleman walk around. You know how they, you know, in between quarters and after the first half and everything, they walk around with the stat sheets and the updates and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And he had the unfortunate luck of coming around right as everyone was really noticing that Vernon wasn't coming back on the field. So I think he probably got asked about 100 times, hey, is Vernon injured? Because everybody's wondering, where is this announcement from Bucs Communication, you know, coming over the loudspeaker and all this stuff. And Gil at one point, you know, specifically asked Bailey and I, since we were there, to like specifically hone in on Vernon, because, you know, I do the rookie recap. Most of our rookies are on defense. So usually when the defense is on the field, I'm looking at the Sean Murphy Buntings of the world, the Jamel Deans, the Devin Whites. So Vernon Hargreaves, unless something happens specifically with him, he's not at the forefront of my mind. And so I started looking at him, and it's funny because as I'm looking, I see him on the sideline. I'm like, all right, he's standing there, doesn't have his helmet. Which, when a player's injured, they take the helmet. So I'm like, but I don't. That doesn't necessarily mean he's injured. It's just, okay, it kind of lends to the possibility. And then I kind of see him just kind of wandering, ho-humming behind everybody on the sideline. And then he walks over to the water cooler, grabs his helmet. He's just kind of walking around. I'm like, all right, dude's got his helmet. Dude's walking around. He's not being treated. He's been benched. Like, he's been benched. And Brent Allen from the PewterCast, he messaged me at the same time and said, bro, like, what's up with Vernon? I said, nothing is up with Vernon. He's literally just walking around the sideline. I mean, call it what you want to call it, pulled, bench, sat, whatever word you want to use. Bottom line at the end of the day is there came a point in this game where Vernon Hargreaves, the quote-unquote veteran leader of the secondary, took a seat, and Sean Murphy Bunting, MJ Stewart, and at first Ryan Smith were your three corners until he got burned, and then Jamel Dean got to come back in for much more of the game and obviously made good on that opportunity. So yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see, because have you seen the Twitter traffic about it? Like, because Coach Arians talked about it in his press conference.
Yep.
Basically, it was an effort problem. And this isn't the first time the Coach Arians talked about effort problems with Vernon Hargreaves.
Yeah. And for a dude that, you know, he had his fifth year option picked up, but that doesn't mean that they have to honor it. He could be out the door.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's gone. Before this, man, I really didn't have much belief that Vernon Hargreaves was going to come back, because honestly.
Me neither.
And yeah, no, I know that. But in his position, I mean, you know, if you're talking about a fifth-year option with, what, $9 million, right? Talking about a fifth-year option for $9 million when the team comes back and says, hey, let's extend you and let's work this money around. Like, I mean, you're not going to get him for $5 million a year when he could take $9 million this year. You know what I mean? He's not going to do that. And you're not going to – he hasn't played anywhere close to the point where you would pay him even close to $9 million a year in an extension. So I kind of felt like he was gone anyway, just from a financial standpoint. It probably wasn't going to work out either way. But after this, I mean, you're literally – in the O.J. Howard thing, we've kind of all been talking about, I know we talked about it, you know, the Pew Report guys have talked about it, so on and so forth. This is the back half of your season. You're 2-6. Your chances of going to the playoffs are pretty much nothing. Right now is when Bruce Arians, Byron Leftwich, Todd Bowles, so on and so forth, they're going to find out who are the guys that are bought into the system, the program, that want to make the Buccaneers better, and who are the guys that are part of the problem, or this isn't my fault, it's your fault. And Vernon Hargreaves either isn't part, he doesn't believe it's his problem, or he doesn't care. Whatever it is, he, you know, that alone shows that he's just not invested in what's going on in the secondary. He's not invested in what's going on in the defense. And you know what? And when we talk about a guy like Jamel Dean, who's going out there literally killing himself, trying to make things happen after giving up, you know, three touchdowns and so on and so forth, you can't roll a veteran leader, quote unquote, out there who's sandbagging and expect your rookies to follow that guy. So I applaud the coaching staff mid-game for making that decision, that move. Obviously, putting Ryan Smith out there was a huge mistake, and they corrected that as soon as they could. But unfortunately, they didn't learn it was a mistake until he was trailing behind a touchdown run. Well, catch and run.
All right. Well, David, I know we got a couple of voicemails. We won't be playing those on this episode. Was there anything in particular from those that you wanted to tackle, or do you want to try to test my editing savvy tomorrow, and we hit on some of these voicemails for Tuesday's episode?
Yeah, I mean, we can play some tomorrow. That'd be great. Honestly, it's just a lot of reality. There's not a lot of questions and stuff. Like, it's mostly just reactions, man. And it's great to hear Bucks fans excited again. It was great to be in the stadium. And I'll tell you, I mean, after the Rojo fumble, you know, and the Cardinals are driving and they're in Zane Gonzalez field goal range, that stadium was quiet as hell, man. And I was like, oh, this is a sad environment to be in. There were more people there than I expected. I know it was still, you know, it wasn't full, but there were more people there than I expected, so I was happy about that. But, man, I'll tell you, as soon as that interception happened, I mean, that stadium erupted. And then I think when everybody found out or figured out who it was, it got even louder. So that was a great moment. So to hear our listeners calling in, they're really just excited, man, just talking about how the game was a back-and-forth thing. You know, there were moments where you're like, oh, no, we're going to lose. Oh, yeah, we're going to win. Oh, no, we're going to lose. Oh, yeah, we're going to win. And then for the team to come out with a victory, everybody's just happy. I mean, it's been so long since this team's had a win. So to see them get a win out there, it's, you know, it's making fans happy, and it's happy. I'm glad to hear it. So, yeah, we can play those tomorrow. It should be pretty simple if you're up for it.
I will give it the old college try, but I didn't try very hard in college, so I make no promises. All right. And, of course, David, you'll have a special event maybe to touch on tomorrow's episode, but we won't reveal that. We'll talk about it tomorrow. We call that in the biz a little sizzle. But until then, of course, you can check out everything David and I are doing over at BucksNation.com. Make sure you're following along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JArco_Bucks, at DH82_Bucks, and at Bucks_Nation. Send in your voicemails to 813-444-5841. Mondays are always a little bit better after a victory, and we hope your Monday is incredible. Thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks. Walk the plank.